I always start the shiur with the following apology. I can prepare the shiur, Mirtz Hashem. I enjoy the shiur, and I'm so glad you came. There's just one thing I can't take upon myself. It's just too much for these, you know, for 18 years I had a secretary who's at my beck and call, but here at the Ava Glory Center, unfortunately, I don't have that. And that is the photocopy. And since we're doing introductory material and we're trying to get the Yesodos of Shabbos, I find it a tremendous burden and yoke on my shoulder to take care of the photocopy. There's a young man who said he would take that off my head, but unfortunately he can't seem to get here on time. I have nothing against him, no judgment. He said he'll be here in 20 minutes, but that doesn't help me to get started at 9:30. So again, with all those apologies, I don't know what to say. Again, if you bring a Gemara Shabbos this year, that gives me 90% of the Mar Makomos. But, you know, to run around photocopying here, there, and elsewhere, I apologize. I wish I could do it. It pains me, you know, but that's what I have. So yesterday we photocopied the Rashba. I don't know if you have the copy of the Rashba. I don't have time now to photocopy the Rashba. You have to... I can't even give it to you because I need it right now. Again, I apologize profusely. I don't know what to say. I put a lot of work into the shiur, but the photocopying is just too much. That's like the straw that broke the camel's back. And there's a young man who took it upon himself to do this for me, and unfortunately he's not here, so I don't know what to say. So again, it's going to have to be Torah Shabbat Peh. If you happen to have the Gemara on Shabbos, Daf Kuf Vav and Aleph, it'll be Torah Shabbat Sav. If you happen to have the Rashba that we photocopied yesterday, it'll be Torah Shabbat Sav. If you happen to have the Trumas Hadesha, it'll be Torah Shabbat Sav. But if you don't have any of the above, then this is going to be Torah Shabbat Peh, which is the way the Torah was meant to be given. So so at least I have some excuse over here. In addition to all that, by the way, I came in, you know, wanting to photocopy, the machine was broken. So it's just this is the logistics of going on. Yeah. The fact that the toaster oven was broken. So again, I had cold breakfast. That's okay. Cold eggs is good too, I guess. But when the photocopy machine breaks down, then I'm really up to locus, as we say in Yiddish. I'm in deep trouble. So again, to try to do the best we can with the tools we have right now, and to try to find a way of cluing you all in without having the text in front of you, which is going to be a great challenge. My shiur is very text-oriented. We'll get started. Again, even the blackboard, I had someone who promised me he would set up the blackboard and clean it for me. Even that wasn't done. You know, I'm working with how do you say it? In instead of eight cylinders, how many cylinders are there in a car? Six or eight, I forget. So I'm working with about three cylinders. So we'll try to do the best we can. Okay, then. The Gemara in Shabbos, on Daf Kuf Vav, asks the following question. What's the deal with two molochos that's called chovel umavir, which are by their very nature destructive? They are mekalkel, as opposed to the balance, the other 37 molochos, which by their very nature are constructive, or if they are twinned together with another molocha and they form a unit, they are constructive. These two are not twins. They don't have a twin. They stand on their own, and yet they are destructive. Says Rabbi Shimon, here in Daf Kufav, that despite the fact that these two malachas are malachas kilkul, they are destructive. You burn someone's haystack. You beat someone up until you extract his blood. And obviously you wound him and you weaken him. Nevertheless, you're chayev on Shabbos. So the Gemara asks, my time with Rav Shimon. What logic, what basis does Rav Shimon have for this very radical conclusion that in two malachas out of the 39, you're chayev, even though they are malachas kilkul, and those are chovel umavir? And the Gemara gives the following explanations. One explanation for Chovel, the second for Mavir, to explain why Rabbi Shimon holds at Yechayev, even though what? These two are considered Meleches Kilkul. In the case of Chovel, he derives it from the fact that Mila, B'Shabbos, is Asur, with the exception of what's called Mila Bismana, if the eighth day turns out to be Shabbos. But barring that, if it's a regular Mila, you cannot override the Shabbos for a Mila Shalom Bismana, let's say. Obviously, Mila, therefore, is a Malacha, which you violate on Shabbos. Says Rabbi Shimon, I don't understand. Mila weakens the baby by drawing his blood, and therefore it's a meleches makalkil, it's chovel shel kilkul. Why did the Torah prohibit it? The answer is because chovel is the exception to the rule, and you're chayv for this melech, despite the fact that it's a meleches kilkul. What's the source for mavir? How do we know that in the case of Mavir Yechayev, even though it's a Meleches Kilkul, says Rabbi Shimon, he derives it from the fact that the Torah prohibits Sreifas Pas Kohen on Shabbos, which means that the Torah has prohibited implementing the punishment of Sreifa in the case of Bas Kohen Shezinsa on Shabbos, even though by taking her life, that is a Kilkul. That's not a constructive or contributing element, but rather it is destructive. From the fact that the Torah prohibited it, we derive the conclusion that Mavir is Chayav even though it's a Kilkul. At this point, the Gemara turns to Rabbi Yehuda and says, well, Rabbi Yehuda, you say that Mavir and Chovel are only Chayav if it's a Meleches Tikkun, and as we discussed yesterday at great length, and Rabbi Yehuda's constructed a case of Mavir and Chovel, which is Tikkun. Who remembers how Rabbi Yehuda successfully converts a Chovel into a Tikkun?
Chovel for the blood of
his. Excellent, for the blood of his Kelev. He wants to get the blood, extract the blood. Poor victim who has to give up his blood, but he has to get that blood out in order to feed his dog. He was not willing to take his own blood, by the way. And then in the case of Mavir, he burns something down for the sake of what? Of the ashes of the Afer, and he wants to cook his egg in the Afer. So there's a constructive element here, there's a benefit, and Rashi, as we discussed yesterday at great length, holds that according to Rabbi Yehuda, we can expand the definition of tzorech to include any tzorech. Okay, we'll get more into that today, Emirat Hashem, but even if it's a tzorech kalbo, which is what we call in Rashi's language a tikkun al yidei acherim, it's a side external tikkun, nevertheless that's enough, according to Rabbi Yehuda, because of his broad scope definition of tzorech, to transform a meleches kilkul into a meleches tikkun. And the same logic applies according to Rabbi Yehuda in the case of Mavir Litzorech Afro, the Afer. In other words, he was that my niggin or your niggin? Oh, okay. So that, because it didn't sound familiar to me. In the case of Mavir, what's he going to do with the ashes? He's going to use the ashes. And even though that's not really going to change the wood or whatever, the haystack that he burnt down, I mean, that's certainly kilkul. But Rabbi Yehuda has this broader definition that if he needs it for whatever his subjective purpose is, that makes it into a tzorech, and that converts these malachas in the case of Chovel, where he's feeding his dog the blood, and in the case of Mavir, where he is using the Afer, into meleches tikkun. Okay, now we come to the conclusion that according to Rabbi Yehuda, you're only chayav for Mavir and Chovel if and when it's a meleches tikkun. So now the question becomes obvious. Well, what is Rabbi Yehuda's answer to the argument of Rabbi Shimon? Rabbi Shimon argues that from the fact that the Torah prohibits Mila, except for the exceptional case of Mila Bismana, the Torah prohibits Mila on Shabbos, it must be that Mila entails a meleches Shabbos, even though it's pure kilkul. Then the Gemara turns to Rabbi Yehuda and asks, from the fact that Torah prohibits Mavir, burning the implementation of the Misa Sreifa and destroying the life of this Bas Kohen, and the Torah prohibits it on Shabbos, we see from that a Meleches Kilkul in the case of Mavir is also Chayav. What is Rabbi Yehuda going to answer to these two arguments respectively? So the Gemara says that Rabbi Yehuda is going to tell us that both in the case of Mila on Shabbos and In the case of Sreifas Bas Kohen, it is a Meleches Tikkun. Why is it a Meleches Tikkun? So the Gemara's language is as follows. Rabbi Yehuda says, Hosam Metaken Hu. In the case of Mila, this is considered a Tikkun. Kid Rav Ash. The Yom Rav Ashi, Mali Letaken Mila, Mali Letaken Kli. There's no difference between taking a utensil which has been, you know, which broke down and you have to fix it. That's called a tikkun, and that's a Meleches Tikkun. And the case of Milo, we have to fix something. We don't know what yet. That we'll see Rashi. You have to fix up something through the Milo, and that itself makes Milo into a Meleches Tikkun. In the case of Sreifas Bas Kohen, the Gemara defends Rabbi Yehuda by saying the following. That Mali Levashel Psila, Mali Levashel Sabemonin. Just as in the Mishkan, they would take certain vegetation, certain herbs, and they would cook them in a pot. And as a result, the dye, D-Y-E, would be extracted into the pot. So even though he's destroying the herbs, they are now completely dissolved, but nevertheless, ultimately he has a goal, he has a purpose. What's his purpose? To extract the dye, that's called sabamonim. Therefore, it's considered a meleches tikkun, and he's chayev for that bishul. So he has a big, fat cauldron, gigantic pot, and he puts these various different types of herbs into the pot, and he cooks them. The herbs get basically dissolved, but nevertheless, what comes out as a result is the dye, the tseva, and as a result, that's considered a meleches tikkun, and he's chayev. So too, by analogy, in the case of Sreifas Bas Kohen, there's something called bishul psila. So let's just very quickly review what we said yesterday about bishul psila. What is bishul psila? Who remembers what bishul psila is from our discussion yesterday? Shmuel?
Lead?
Yeah, he takes a piece of lead, a piece of metal, and what does he do? Correct. He turns a fire on, or he lights a fire, and then he puts the lead into the fire. The lead now becomes very hot. And then he takes the lead, and what does he do with this hot lead? What does Bezdin do with the hot lead? They put it down her throat, and that's how they implement Sreifa. So the Gemara establishes that Bishul Psila is considered a Meleches Tikkun. So we have two questions now to answer. Question number one, why is Mila considered a Meleches Tikkun? And question number two, why is Bishul Psila in the case of Sreifas Bas Kohen considered a Meleches Tikkun? And both these questions are addressed to whom? To Rabbi Yehuda. Again, Rabbi Shimon denies it. Rabbi Shimon holds that both Mila and Sreifas Bas Kohen are Meleches Kilkul. But Rabbi Yehuda insists that these two Melechs are Meleches Tikkun. Okay, now we get to the Torah Shebichsav here. But if you don't have a Gemara Shabbos, and Tzvi is not here today, so I can't help you with that. Rashi says the following. Mali letaken kli. The Gemara claims that according to Rabbi Yehuda, we can make an analogy between tikkun kli and mila. Says Rashi, ha nami, the case of mila is likewise a tikkun. Why? Because it's metaken gavrahu. Now Rashi's Tikkun Gavra has to be understood. The Rashba embellishes Rashi's Tikkun Gavra, and many other the Rishonim do as well. But before we present the understanding of Rashi, let's just make the point that Rashi does not say what we thought he would say. Based on the Gemara in Kufayim and Beis, the Gemara in Kufayim and Beis says that Korea al Meso, in the case of Meis Didei, is considered a Meleches Tikkun because of the mitzvah of Kriya. That means the Kiyum Mitzvah's Kriya converts a Meleches Kilkul into a Meleches Tikkun. Whatever I do for the sake of a mitzvah, that becomes Tikkun. And we could have logically apply that principle to the case of Mila. Just like Kriyal Meso is a mitzvah that makes into a Meleches Tikkun, so too Mila is a mitzvah that should make it into a meleches tikkun. Rashi doesn't say a word about mitzvah. In the next Rashi, with regard to Sreifas Bas Kohen, once again, we did a word search yesterday in Rashi, and we didn't find any mention of mitzvah. That the Sreifas Bas Kohen is a mitzvah, and that makes it into a meleches tikkun. So for some reason, unbeknown to us, Rashi, at this point in the sugya, as opposed to what happened above on Daf Kufei Amud Beis, in the case of Korea, Rashi insists that mitzvah would not be enough to convert a meleches kilkul into a meleches tikkun. For that, we need something much more, let's say, intrinsic than mitzvah. You can't just say, well, I'm destroying something because of a mitzvah, that doesn't make it into a tikkun, as opposed to the case of Koreal Mesel. So obviously we have a major problem here that we have to address in Rashi. Why does Rashi drop the ball on tikkun mitzvah, which he very much activated in the case of Koreal Mesel? So what does Rashi say? So Rashi says that in the case of Mila, there's a tikkun gavra. What does it mean, tikkun gavra? So let's just understand. The status of an orel in halacha is inferior to the status of a mahul. Which means that before Mila, the individual is to some extent excluded, is disqualified. For example, if let's say you have a kohen has a mitzvah to eat truma, a kohen has a mitzvah to eat kachim, a kohen has a mitzvah to go into the Beis HaMikdash. Not only that, for that matter, even if I'm not a kohen, I have a mitzvah to go into the Beis HaMikdash. But that mitzvah does not apply and cannot be fulfilled in the case of an orel. Don, do I have to write the word Orel for you? Orel Ayin Reish Lamet, okay? Which means an uncircumcised person. Again, there's an entire chapter in Masechet Yevamos that's dedicated to try to define what and who is an Orel. There are certain cases of children that are born without Orla. Are they considered an Orel or not? There are cases of a child that you cannot circumcise him because he was born to a family of hemophiliacs. I mean, all this and what happens to an Orel as far as his father is concerned, if his father is guilty of not circumcising his son, therefore he can't eat from the Korban Pesach, all this is discussed at great length in Masechet Yevamos. And don't ask me how it crept into Masechet Yevamos. Has nothing to do with Yibum. In any event, that's the case of an Orel. What's the case of a Mahul? Once he's Mahul, he can eat from Kachim, if he's a Kohen, or those parts of Shlomim that Yisrael is allowed to eat. He can, if he's a Kohen, he can eat Truma. Even if he's Yisrael, he can enter into the Beis HaMikdash. He can eat from the Korban Pesach, etc., etc., etc. That's called Tikkun Gavra, meaning the status change from Mahul, from Orel to Mahul, is a Tikkun Gavra. That's what Rashi says. So far, Rashi is okay, except for two questions. Number one, why couldn't Reb Shimon accept that logic of Tikkun Gavra? Why is it only Reb Yehuda? And the more fundamental question, as we asked earlier, why doesn't Rashi introduce the mitzvah element and that should make it into a Tikkun? Why does he need Tikkun Gavra? And since the Gemara has already established in the previous sugya Tikkun Mitzvah, then it almost fits like a glove that we should extend and apply that logic to the case of Mila. Why does Rashi have to stretch his arm out to Tikkun Gavra? No mention, he doesn't even whisper the word Mitzvah. So those are two questions that have to be addressed, but what I find is the more complicated Rashi is the next Rashi, about Bishul Psila. What does Rashi say about Bishul Psila? Rashi says, Shehu, what's the next word here? Can anybody help me out here?
Madlik.
Shehu madlik psila shel aver. He takes this wick, so to speak, that's made out of lead, and he lights a fire to heat it up. And then he takes the lead, v'nosna l'toch pia, v'derech bishulhu. And Rashi seems to recognize and validate the Meleches Bishul here by heating up a pot and putting the lead inside the pot to heat up the lead. That is a Meleches Bishul. V'chayev ala Bishul. And he's chayev for Bishul. Now keep in mind, Rabbi Osai, according to whose sheet are we dealing? Rashi, the whole Rashi addresses the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, he's chayev for this derech Bishul. She'eno mekalkel ha'ever bibishulo.
Sorry, what's ever mean?
Ever, aleph, vet, resh is called lead. L-E-A-D, I think. Okay? Is that how you say it in English?
Yeah.
Okay, good. If you have another word for it, that's fine, but it's a type of metal. Okay, then?
It's an element.
An element. Great. I don't know what that means, Harvey, but it sounds great. So what happens now? Rashi says that when you take lead, or an element as Harvey calls it, I guess that's British for lead, I guess. Anyway, and you heat it up, that's called a meleches tikkun. Eino mekalkela ever bibishul, el metaken vitzoref. The word tzoref means when you heat up a metal, it becomes stronger and more durable. That is beneficial to the metal. That's called tziruf. And there are many different ways that you can be mitzarif metal, but this is one of them.
It means refining a product.
Okay. It's refining the element.
Yeah.
Okay. Harvey and I have this thing that, you know, he knows I'm joking and I know that he never meant it. It's a code between the two of us. Okay, fine. Now, this Rashi is really complicated. I'll tell you why. Because not only does Rashi drop the ball on mitzvah here with regard to Sreifas Bas Kohen, which again, that's Rashi Lishitoso, because he dropped that ball in the case of Mila, so I can understand Rashi consistently omits the concept of mitzvah. But moreover, Rashi says that the tikkun here is in the psila itself, in the aver, in the lead. That's where the tikkun is, and Rashi insists that in the biological world of physics, the lead is improved in its durability, if you'll have it that way, but as a result of this cooking process, this heating process. So what is Reb Shimon going to say about that? But the complications here in Rashi go even beyond that. If Rashi is telling me that you're improving the psila, right, that aver, what's that got to do with Sreifas Bas Kohen? You know, we're trying to establish that the Sreifa itself, which is kilkul, because we're implementing the death penalty, that is a tikkun. Okay, I would have said it's a tikkun because it's a mitzvah. But Rashi's not willing to accept that. So Rashi has to give you an alternative answer to the question, why destroying the life of the Bas Kohen, why is that considered a meleches tikkun? Instead, Rashi talks about taking the lead, which is again a preparatory stage that will ultimately lead to Sreifas Bas Kohen, but certainly that's not the melacha that we're dealing with. We're not discussing meleches bishul here. We're discussing meleches mavir, meaning when she's put to the, you know, to the havara, to the burning process. Is that called a tikkun? Oh, so the bishul psila is a tikkun. Why? Because the aver is now in better shape than it was before.
That's the case that Rav Ashi is giving us.
Yeah, I can't blame Rashi totally here because the text of the Gemara, you see, you're okay, David, because you have the text of the Gemara, not the same text that I have, but anyway, just kidding. So what is it? What it says here, Mali Levashel Psila. So the Gemara puts all the emphasis on Bishel Psila. And at this point, we have a Chidushi Arashba who steps up to the plate. The Chidushi Arashba says that, and it's interesting to see how he proves this, that the Gemara's discussion about Bishul Psila is Shalol Litzarach, meaning it's not really necessary. The Gemara this is an add-on. The Gemara is not giving you the real secret as to why Mavir, in the case of Bas Kohen Shezinsa, is tikkun. The Gemara leaves that out. But the Gemara has this addition of Bishul Psila. And he calls it Ta'am Nosaf in the language of the Rashba. So you'll see that inside of Mitzvah Hashem. Maybe we'll read it, if we, depending on how the clock treats us today. What is this Ta'am Nosaf? And why did the Gemara feel compelled to give me a Tam Nosaf? And how does the Rashba know that this is a Tam Nosaf? And we shouldn't take the Gemara at face value. This is not the Ikar Atam. The real primary reason is a different reason. Why is it Meleches Tikkun? So let me just read to you a little bit of the Rashba. Again, I think we have the photocopy. And the Rashba says the following. He says that in Rabbi Shimon, he says, Tikkun Amila Shu Ose Mitzvah Eino Tikkun Beguf Hadavar Ela Shu Mitzvah. The Tikkun Mitzvah, according to Rabbi Shimon, Eino Mischashivlo. Meaning, Rabbi Shimon holds that Malach Shein Tzrich LeGufa is what? Everybody, Malacha Shein Tzricha LeGufa, according to Reb Shimon, is Potur. It means that you need a Tzorech LeGufa. Tzorech Mitzvah is not LeTzorech Gufa. We see that the Rashba is operating with what kind of a Tikkun here? Mitzvah. Rabbi Yehuda can accept that Tikkun, Mitzvah, Shmei Tikkun, whereas Rabbi Shimon cannot. Why does Rabbi Yehuda have the luxury of establishing that a tikkun mitzvah is a tikkun? Because what's Rabbi Yehuda's shita malach shein tzricha legufa? Chayav. Meaning that Rabbi Yehuda accepts that even if in the gufa shel malach I'm actually weakening the child, I'm taking his blood out, so as far as the gufa malach, it's eino tzricha. What he needs is the kiyum mitzvah, that's what's going to make it a tzorech. That kiyum mitzvah is external to the guf, so therefore it's eino tzricha legufa, but it's letzorech. And as well as the tzitzorech, it has some sort of side benefit external to the gufa shel malacha. Rabbi Yehuda says yichayev for such a thing. So Rabbi Yehuda therefore validates the fact that there's a tikkun mitzvah. So it means that the Rashba understood that when the Gemara establishes that meleches mila is a tikkun, why is it a tikkun? Again, it's only true according to Rabbi Yehuda, but why is mila a tikkun according to the Rashba? Who can help me out here? Mitzvah. Just say it'll drop louder, David, because it's mitzvah. But Rav Shimon can't accept tikkun mitzvah. And that's an application of the machlokas between Rav Yehuda and Rav Shimon about Malach HaShem Tzricha Leguf. Well, now the Rashba has another question. Wait a minute. Maybe mitzvah is not a tikkun according to Rav Shimon, because that's extraneous. But what about Tikkun Gavra? The Afo Pishu Mitakno. Now he's referring to Rashi's pshat in Mila. Why is Mila Tikkun according to Rabbi Yehuda? Because of Tikkun Gavra. The Afo Pishu Mitakno, but Rabbi Shimon would not accept it. Litruma, Ulekodshim, Ulachilas Psochim, Ein Oso Tikkun Begufa Mila. Here he makes a distinction between the guf hamila, meaning what establishes the tikkun gavra? It's not the loss of blood. You know, the fact that the moel is drawing blood, that per se, according to the Rashba, is not called a tikkun. That's the guf hamila. The guf hamila, as far as meleches chovel is concerned, is taking out the blood. The Rashba insists that there was no tikkun in taking out the blood. Ella what? Havi tikkun mila eitzel acherim. It's a side tikkun. It's a result. As a result of the fact that the mila was implemented, kedasu kedin, the child now has the din, the status of a mole. But that's called a malach hashen yitzricha legufa. So in other words, Rabbi Shimon would reject both categories of tikkun. Number one, tikkun mitzvah. And number two, tikkun gavra. Because in both cases, it's a malach hashen yitzricha legufa, it's called a tikkun mitzad acher. And if it's a tikkun mitzad acher, Rabbi Shimon does not recognize that as a tzorech, as a valid conversion of a meleches mekalkel into a meleches tikkun. Who would accept any of the above, any of the two definitions of tikkun? Rabbi Yehuda, because Rabbi Yehuda holds moch shen tzrich l'guf achayv, he has a broader definition of tikkun. Even tikkun eitzel acherim, a side tikkun, is also a valid tzorech, also upgrades the kilkul and transforms it into a meleches tikkun. So it comes out like this, that whereas Rashi is only operating with one possible definition of mila as a tikkun, namely tikkun gavra, the Rashba is operating with two possible definitions of mila as a tikkun, either tikkun gavra or tikkun mitzvah. But in any case, says the Rashba, Reb Shimon would reject that definition of tikkun because he holds mok shen tzrich l'gufa potur, and therefore it's tikkun Eitzel Achir. That's as far as meal is concerned. But now the Rashba wants to know, what about Sreifas Bas Kohen? What's the tikkun in Sreifas Bas Kohen? And why would Reb Shimon reject that tikkun? So the Rashba says that in the case of Havaras Bas Kohen, we have the following tikkun. He says that if you're going to tell me that the real tikkun is bishul hapsila, Rabosai, how many different categories of Mises Bezdin do we have?
Four.
How many of them entail a bishul psila? Only one. Now all Mises Bezdin, all four, are prohibited on Shabbos. So the Rashba asks him the following question. I can understand Bishlema, the case of Sreifa, that has to be prohibited on Shabbos because there you're burning a psila, and that's a tikkun. That has to be out. But why the other three misos bezdin, which don't involve the burning of a psila?
Taking off someone's head certainly sheds some blood, though, no?
All right, maybe Sai, if we have to leave out here, could be, I don't know. But again, we're talking about the psila itself. What we're doing is, we are heating up a piece of lead. And the Gemara says that makes it into meleches tikkun. That doesn't apply, even in the case of Sai, if we don't heat up any lead in the case of Sai. If you can do the job with a cold sword. Okay. So the Rashba says the following. That why is it that according to Rabbi Yehuda, all four misos bezdin are excluded or prohibited on Shabbos? He says, "Kashaliyim kele Rabbi Yehuda shar misos bezdin yu mutaros b'Shabbos damakalkel gomor hu." We don't have this element of tikkun through bishul psila. V'yesh lomar. Til Rabbi Yehuda nami shar misos asuros, we have to prohibit all misos, even without bishul psila. Diyesh b'hem tikkun mitzad shehem misbarim mitoch ha'eda. The Torah says that someone who is guilty of a capital crime, ubiarta arami kerbecha, we have to uproot evil from amidst the camp, amidst the community. That makes it into a meleches tikkun, according to whom? According to Rabbi Yehuda. And that's common to all four Mises Bezdin. In all cases of Mises Bezdin, we have this tikkun, she misbarim mitoch ha'eda. And he gives an example. Where do you find that getting rid of something and wiping it off the earth is considered a tikkun? Where do we find such a thing? Says the Rashba. He quotes a sugya daf tzadi gimel amid beis. Keotzas kizayis min ames. You have an ohel, and now there's tuma in the ohel, and you carry out the tuma from Rishus HaYochid out in Rishus HaRabim, so that now there's no longer tuma in the Rishus HaYochid. Is chashiv le'tikun harchokas ha'tuma. He says that by taking tuma and be marchik the tuma, taking it out of Rishus HaYochid and putting it down in Rishus HaRabim, that harchokas tuma is considered a tikkun, at least according to Rabbi Yehuda. And so too, ubiarta rami kibechnus. The Rashba has now this new concept that if you have something that's evil, that's tamei, something that's damaging, and you want to get rid of it, getting rid of it is considered a meleches tikkun, according to Rabbi Yehuda. No, if now the Rashba is maintaining that all four mises bezdin are prohibited on Shabbos, according to Rabbi Yehuda, under the halacha of biur mitocha eda, biur hara mitocha eda, that itself makes it into a meleches tikkun. So why does the Gemara need bishul psila? The hadi amrina, and that which the Gemara says, mali bishul psila lirabuse nakat velo tzricha. He says it's this extra tosefes that the Gemara added here, that in the case of one of the four mises bezdin, namely straight for this, there's not only a tikkun of biarta rami kibecha, there's also a tikkun of the bishul apsila. And the Gemara doesn't really need this, but the Gemara wants to point out that at least in one of the four cases, you have not only one tikkun, but you have two tikkun. You have a double tikkun. You have the general tikkun that applies to all four mises bezdin, which is called biarta rami kibecha, and now we have an additional specific tikkun in the case of what? Of Sreifa, because in order to implement the Sreifa, we have to cook up the lead, and that improves the lead. So the Rashba seems to assume, like Rashi, that by heating up the lead, you improve the lead, and that itself is a tikkun, and that would make it into a meleches tikkun. The Rashba says the Gemara didn't need it. This was all a superfluous add on in order to strengthen the position and the conclusion that with Sreifas Bas Kohen, Rabbi Yehuda is right, there is a tikkun. No, at this point we have to ask the question, what about Rabbi Shimon? Why couldn't Rabbi Shimon accept the tikkun of Ubiarta Rami Kirbecha? Why couldn't Rabbi Shimon accept the tikkun of Bishol Hapsila? And the answer again has to be because Rabbi Shimon holds Moloch Hashem Tzricha L'Gufa Patur. It means that Rabbi Shimon requires a tikkun in the guf hamalacha. So just like taking out the blood, although as a result there will be a tikkun gavra, that now the child will be a mole and he can eat from kachim, etc., that's considered eino tzricha l'guf, because there's no tikkun in the guf hamalacha, namely the hotzas adam. So too in the case of sreifas bas kohen, if you isolate the Nebuch, the lady whose life is being taken, that's a meleches kilkul. Ella what? There's ubiarta rami kirbecha, that too is considered a meleches shen tzrich leguf, that's a tikkun mitzad acherim. That we, the Eidah, cannot tolerate, you know, this horrible criminal in our midst. But that's not, that doesn't make the destruction of the Eishes Bas Kohen into what? Into a tikkun, according to Rabbi Shimon. So again, Rabbi Yehuda will say that any tikkun, even if it's Eitzel Acherim, that makes it into a tikkun. So what's my ultimate goal in destroying this woman's life? What do we gain from it? We, Acherim, we get Uvar Be'ar Torah, Me'adas Yisrael. That, from Rabbi Yehuda's position, is a tzorech which the Torah validates, and it converts the kilkul of destroying this woman's life into a tikkun of biur hara. But according to Rabbi Shimon, that's not going to work because it's a tikkun mitzad acher. What about the bishul psila? In other words, if the Gemara is adding a bishul psila element here into the equation, so then, what's Rabbi Shimon going to argue here? How can he counter the argument against Bishul Psila? If indeed the lead is strengthened and improved through this pass of Bishul, unless Rabbi Shimon denies the physics of it, then why isn't that a tikkun? Well, first of all, we have to know a Rashi. Rashi says that he doesn't understand Lechora. What does Rabbi Shimon mean when he says that Mavir is a meleches kilkul? I don't get it. Why is he burning these trees? He needs a fire. What is he going to do with the fire? He's going to cook
eggs
on the fire. He's going to cook his cholent on the fire, right? Says Rashi, Dibra Maskalu Braisa Rabbi Shimon Hi. This is at Mamish, the last line of the skinny lines in Rashi, here on Daf Kuvav Amin Aleph. Rashi says, Vafilu Mavir Eitzim Likdei Rosso, Mekalkal Hu Eitzel Eitzim. Rashi distinguishes, he differentiates between the combustible material that creates the fire and the food that's going to be cooked by this fire. And Rashi again applies the principle of Rabbi Shimon, that Malach Shein Tzuch L'Gufa is Potter, meaning in this narrow definition of Tzorech, the Eitzim that I'm burning in order to create my fire for cooking my eggs, those Eitzim are absolutely destroyed. That's pure Kilkel. The Mavir always remains Kilkel, according to Rabbi Shimon. Ella, what I have a side benefit that now that I have the fire, I can what? I can cook my eggs on the fire. That's already Tikkun Eitz Acherim. That's not Lutzar Gufa. So the Gufa Shel Malacha, which is the burning of the trees, of the wood, that itself remains pure Kilkel. And perhaps, in the light of this Rashi, we can explain why Rabbi Shimon would hold that Bishul Psila is not a Malachas Tikkun. What am I doing over here? I'm strengthening the lead. How do I get to strengthen the lead? I turn on a fire. The fire itself is a meleches kilkul, no less than the case where I burn trees in order to cook on the pot. So here also, I need to cook this lead in the pot, and therefore, that's considered tikkun eitz l'acherim. That's not a tzorech which can convert it into a meleches tikkun. Because according to Reb Shimon, we need tikkun begufa shel melacha. So now I'm burning trees. I'm going to create a fire. What am I going to put on this fire? The molten lead, right? The lead that's going to become molten. Says the Rashba, I think. Again, I don't find this in the language of the Rashba, but Rabbi Shimon would say that that's called tikkun eitzel acherim, just like in the case of Mila. The tikkun is for the fact that now the child is going to be able to eat kodshim or enter into the mikdash. That's not a tikkun in the guf meleches chovel. The chovel, the chavol itself, meaning the drawing of the blood and weakening of the child, that's what the melacha is. Called in the language of the Mishnah and Tilos Neshama. That itself is kilkul. The baby is weaker than it was before. That's kilkul. There's some side benefit here, very great significance, but nevertheless, it's on the side. It's external to the Gufa Shel Malacha, Rav Shimon would hold. In the case of Bishul Psila, even though ultimately by burning this fire and the wood for the fire goes up in smoke, ultimately I gain something, I benefit, because now I'm going to put the molten lead inside the fire and I'm going to heat it, but that's already Tikkun Eitz L'Acherim. That's a Tikkun as far as the lead is concerned, but not as far as the burning of the flame. The burning of the trees, the wood, the combustible material, that remains a Meleches Kilkul. So according to Rav Shimon, Mavir, by definition, is always a Meleches Kilkul. I have a greater purpose in mind. I benefit tremendously from this fire. It doesn't matter. That's always going to be external to the fire and the destruction of that fire, and therefore it's a meleches kilk. At this point, and this is the introduction to the Trumas Hadeshen that we want to do today, we look at Tosus. Tosus, Mali Mavashal Psila, Mali Mavashal Samam. Now let's just first make one point at the outset. The Gemara wants to know whether Sreifas Bas Kohen is a Meleches Kilkul or Meleches Tikkun. And the Gemara answers that according to Rabbi Yehuda, Sreifas Bas Kohen is a Meleches Tikkun. Why? Because he strengthens the lead. I don't get it. What do you mean he strengthens the lid? So what if he strengthens the lid? What does that have to do with Sreifas Bas Kohen? The Sreifas Bas Kohen itself, which the Torah prohibits, is pure kilkul. I mean, the Rashba has another possibility of Ubiarta Arah Mikirbecha. But the Gemara doesn't mention a word about Ubiarta Arah Mikirbecha. The Gemara only mentions one thing. What makes Sreifas Bas Kohen a Meleches Tikkun? The Bishul Hapsila. Why does that make the burning of the Bas Kohen into a meleches tikkun? We'll soon see that Tosfos is going to say what happened in a case where he heated up the lead right before Shabbos. So he's got hot molten lead. He'll put it on a blech. Okay, that's my own addition. Tosfos doesn't mention the blech, but he'll keep it hot. without violating any maleches bishul by heating up the lead. So in that case, I'm allowed to kill the bas kohen because there's no tikkun. It's pure kilkul. So what's going on over here? So the answer, I think, is that we have what's called a process. A process is made up of many parts. Part number one is we take something combustible, we call it wood, and we burn it. Now we have a fire. Part number two is we put a pot on this fire, and what's in the pot? A psila. Part three is we take the psila and we put it into our mouth and we fulfill the mitzvah of Sreifas Bas Kohen. Apparently, the Gemara understands that when you have a process, if you can identify one part of the process, one segment, as what? As tikkun, that makes the entire process into tikkun. So that even though technically the burning and the heating up of the psila is only a preparatory stage for Sreifas Bas Kohen, nevertheless, insofar as the burning of the psila, heating of the psila is a meleches tikkun, the Sreifa of the Bas Kohen itself becomes a meleches tikkun. So if I have two processes or two actions, the first is meant to facilitate the second, so you have action A and then action B. If action A is considered a what? A tikkun, then by definition action B is also a tikkun. You know, I would have said logically the reverse. I mean, let's go sequentially. If you were to convince me that burning the Bas Kohen itself is a tikkun, and you would apply one of the Rashba's reasoning of mitzvah or Adas Yisrael and all that stuff, then I would say that maybe preparing for the Sreifas Bas Kohen, the pre-stage, the preparatory stage, right? We used to call it in kindergarten pre-1A, if they still call it, right? That itself becomes a tikkun. But now we're saying just the reverse. That because I need to heat up the molten lead in the Bishul HaPsila in order to achieve Sreifas Bas Kohen, and since Bishul HaPsila itself is a tikkun on the Psila, that makes the Sreifas Bas Kohen into a Meleches Tikkun. That's fascinating. Again, we have now three answers to the question as to why Rabbi Yehuda maintains that Sreifas Bas Kohen is a Meleches Tikkun. Answer number one is because of the mitzvah element of Sreifas Bas Kohen. Answer number two, it's a Tikkun for Adas Yisrael because of Biarta. Answer number three is that the Bishul HaPsila, which itself is considered a Meleches Tikkun because the Psila is improved by being strengthened and now it's more durable, that itself makes and converts the Sreifas Bas Kohen itself into a Meleches Tikkun. And for these three reasons, any of the above, Rabbi Yehuda would hold that Sreifas Bas Kohen is prohibited on Shabbos. However, if you ask me which of those reasons, if any, would apply to the other three Mises Bezdin, which are also prohibited on Shabbos, which one do I have to certainly drop? Bishul Psila. There's no Bishul Psila in the other three Mises Bezdin. I could argue that it's Ubiarta or Rami Kerbech. I could argue that it's a mitzvah, and that makes it into a tikkun. And that's where the Rashba comes in with this very strange structure here, which he says that the Bishul Psila is added to the Gemara just as an extra reason for tikkun in the case of Sreifas Bas Kohen. And the premise that underlies the Rashba is that once I convert the Bishul Psila into a what? Into a tikkun, that makes the Sreifas Bas Kohen into a tikkun. And I would argue that Rashi must subscribe to this position, because again, if we read Rashi carefully, Dibra Maskel Bishul Psila, Rashi indicates that the malacha here that's done on the Psila, namely the Bishul HaPsila itself, is called a tikkun, and it's derech Bishul. V'chayev ala Bishul she'eno mekalkel. What? And it's mitzaref. Rashi says it strengthens the Psila. Why does that make the Sreifas Bas Kohen into a meleches tikkun? We must assume that if you have a process, and one part of the process is called a tikkun, then the other part of the process is called a tikkun. I don't know where that's going to lead us this year if we're going to study Hilchos Shabbos. it's an amazing chiddush that it could have tremendous repercussions, that whenever you have a process, as long as you can isolate one segment of the process as being meleches tikkun, it makes the entire process into meleches tikkun. I don't know where that's going to lead us. So Tosa says the following. Ein lefarish. He rejects Rashi. Ein lefarish kimo shebishul samimonim. Just like in the case where I burn wood in order to create a fire, and then I put a pot on the fire and I throw in the samimonim into the pyre. That's called a tikkun. And therefore the meleches bishul becomes a meleches tikkun. According to whom? According to Rabbi Yehuda. Why? Because when I burn this fire, it's for the ultimate goal of removing the dye from the samimonim. That's a tikkun etzalachem, which makes a kilkul into a tikkun. And of course the samimonim is a great tikkun, because Yosher Chashuvim, he's going to use this dye for coloring and painting the rios and so forth and so on. Kach, all this is what you shouldn't say. Kach, so too in the case of Psila, Chashuva, what's the next word? Yoser al Yidei Bishel. The Psila itself is now improved as a result of the heating process. Whose pshat is that? Rashi's pshat. And not only that, the Rashba also admits that that's pshat. Te'i hainu taimed Rabbi Yehuda, from Yehuda saying that why is Srefas Vaskoin a tikkun? Because the heating of the molten lead is an improvement. Is Shar Mises Bezdin de lo dachu Shabbos minolon? What's the logic to prohibit all the other Misos Bezdin? There is no burning process in which we heat up a molten lead. It is then lo asur Torah. The Torah should have said it's not asura. If it's only asura because of the tikkun of the psila, that has no application to the other three mises bezdin. So we cannot accept Rashi's pshat. V'odin, furthermore, sreifas bas kohen gufa minolon delo dachinon hechad the tikkun apsila meyesmal. Why? Why do we automatically, absolutely assume that there's no possibility of burning the Bas Kohen on Shabbos? What about a situation in which he already prepared the Psila on Erev Shabbos? Now he has everything ready to burn the Bas Kohen, and that itself, Rashi seems to assume, is a Meleches Kilkul, so that should be Mutter in this case. The Tikkun is only in the Bishul HaPsila, but that he did Erev Shabbos. So again, the only answer I can offer you, I think, at this point in my life, to defend Rashi, is that Rashi really holds like the Rashba. That when the Gemara speaks about Bishul Psila, that's an add-on, making the entire process into a Meleches Tikkun. And Eino Chinami, Rashi is going to have to come up with some other explanation as to why Sreifas Bas Kohen is a Meleches Tikkun. He's not going to allow and recognize the mitzvah element, because already in Mila, Rashi left out the mitzvah element. But perhaps Rashi would accept the Rashba's view that it's a tikkun etzel ha'eda because of bi'arta arah mikirbech. I don't know. Again, that's putting a lot into Rashi. The Omer Ri. Now the Ri has to, you know, be constructive. So far he's mekalkel. You know, he destroyed Rashi with two kashas. Let's just review the two kashas of the Ri against Rashi. Question number one is that according to Rashi, how do we justify the Isur in Shar Mises Bezdin? There is no Bishul Psila. Question number two, what happens if he already set up the Bishul Psila on Erev Shabbos? Then we're allowed to destroy the Kohen, the Bas Kohen? The Omeri da Hachi Pirusho, Mali Bishul Psila Litzorech Sreifas Bas Kohen, Mali Bishul Samamonim Litzorech Tzvias Beged. When I take these Samamonim and I put them into a cauldron, I destroy the Samamonim. But my ultimate goal is to dye the clothing. The fact that I have an ultimate motivation, an ultimate purpose, that makes it into a Meleches Tikkun. Again, according to whom? According to Rabbi Yehuda. So the same logic should apply here, that since I am cooking up this molten lead, in order to what? In order to burn and fulfill the mitzvah of Sreifas Bas Kohen, then the bishul of the psila itself is considered a tikkun. In other words, Tosus is saying that if I have some sort of constructive purpose in destroying something that makes it into a tikkun. So, for example, according to Rabbi Yehuda, I'm going to be chayav for bishul samamonim, even though I'm destroying the wood that I'm feeding into the fire. But the answer is because I have an ultimate positive gain, namely what? I'm going to dye the clothing. Here too also, even though I'm destroying even though I'm taking the wood and I'm destroying it in the process of sreifa, in order to take this molten this lead and heat it up, but I'm doing it for another purpose. What's my purpose? Sreifas pas kohen. That makes it into a tikkun. Which definition of tikkun is Tosis operating with? We saw the Rashba operates with two possibilities, either tikkun mitzvah or tikkun biur hara. Tosis says mishum mitzvah. Beautiful. I'm excited here because this is Tosis lishitasa. The Tosis already on daf kuf hayam and beis in the sugya of Korea al Meso has already established that if my destructive act is for the purpose of a mitzvah, I'm obligated to do this destructive, to engage in this kriya that makes it into what? Into a meleches tikkun. So to hear, if I am destroying these logs of wood in order to ultimately, through the process of heating up the lead, be makayim the mitzvah of sreifas bas kohen, that mitzvah of sreifas bas kohen converts the entire process into a meleches tikkun. It means that if we go back now to the case of Mila and ask Tosis, why is Mila considered a meleches tikkun, what would be the answer?
Mitzvah.
He doesn't need tikkun gavra. Forget about tikkun gavra. We already have tikkun mitzvah in the case of Korei al Mesa. Let's just apply that here in the case of Mila, just as Tosis does in the case of sreifas bas kohen. And now Tosis has answered his questions, because the fact that you prepared the psila on Erev Shabbos, that doesn't undermine the fact that the sreifas bas kohen is a tikkun, because of the tikkun mitzvah element, and therefore it's asur because it's a meleches tikkun. Not only that, now Tosis answered his other question, his original question, that we can apply this logic to justify the isur of Mises Bezdin in all four forms of Mises Bezdin, even when there is no bishul of the psila. Again, you still have to ask yourself the question, so why does the Gemara, as David would say here on my right, why does the Gemara mention here and confuse me with bishul psila? The answer is, says Tosis, the Gemara wants to use bishul psila as sort of like a paradigm of a mirror image of bishul samamonim, where the act itself is destructive. I'm burning up the wood, but yet I'm burning the wood for an ultimate purpose that's constructive, that makes the burning of the wood into a meleches tikkun. Again, all in the light of and based on Rabbi Yehuda's shita, that you don't need litzorech gufa, but you have the broader definition of litzorech, and even though it's etzel acherim. But ultimately, what makes this melacha into a meleches tikkun is the sreifas bas kohen itself. And why is the sreifas bas kohen a mitzvah, a tikkun? You guessed it, because the mitzvah. Di lav sreifa atzma chashiva tikkun. If you don't agree with me that the sreifa itself is considered a tikkun insofar as tikkun a mitzvah, mishum biso psila lo havi asura. He says, even if I would grant you the premise that bishul psila is somehow constructive and beneficial for the psila, that would not generate an isur of sreifas bas kohen, because the sreifa itself is a kilkel. Tosis is not willing to buy into our thesis that we presented in the Rashba, that the process makes tikkun chal throughout the entire process. The afal pi shemetakenes bekach donin she'ena ela mishum sreifa lo avi chashuv the kevon, excuse me, the ena ela mishum sreifa lo havi chashuv tikkun. In other words, even though you could say that the burning of the wood is in a sense constructive, although I'm destroying the wood, but at least I'm going to heat up the lead, but that doesn't make sreifa itself, when you burn the bas kohen, that act itself is not a tikkun, and therefore lo machayev, he wouldn't be chayev for it. Why did the Torah therefore prohibit it? And here Tosis gives a very interesting example. He says, v'chein motzi mara Lachsar, Lachbar,
Likbar.
Let's say he has Likbar Boas Ames. He takes out a Mara. Mara is a spade, I think, in English. And why is he carrying the spade out to Rishus HaRabim? He wants to dig a hole. Why is he digging a hole? Because he's preparing a gravesite. And what are you going to tell me in such a case that carrying out the spade is considered a malacha tzricha legufa because he needs the spade to dig a kever l'Rabbi Shimon? Kemo motzi kis l'kabel bo ziva. In other words, Tosus is saying here that Rabbi Shimon's principle of malacha shen tzrich legufa applies whenever the tikkun is extraneous, meaning my goal in carrying out this spade is to achieve something else. In other words, kvuras hames, I want to use the spade to bury. Or for example, there's a kiss, a certain pocket, if you will, to receive ziva, and he carries the kiss out into another reshus in order to hand over this kiss to a zav or a zava. And Rabbi Shimon would say, in all those cases, even though his hotzah has a constructive purpose and an ultimate goal, nevertheless, it's still considered a malacha she'ena tzricha legufa. Now, what we're left with here is the Trumas HaDeshen. So let's just, Rabosai, we're not going to have time now to go through Trumas HaDeshen. I'll give you the morning to go through the Trumas HaDeshen. But let's just introduce the Trumas HaDeshen. The question was, if there's an option in the case of Mila B'Shabbos of hiring a Moel other than the father may have vested interest, he wants to do the Mila of his son himself, you know, Mitzvah Bo Yosef Yivishlucho, but the question is, should we give it to someone else? Depends. And to do the Mila, not the father. And the Torah says, in the name of, whose name was it? Who remembers? In the name of Rabbi Lezer Alevi, correct, Rabbi Lezer Alevi, that in such a case, unless there's no one else to do the job, we should have someone else do the job other than the father. And what is the logic here to prefer someone else to do the Mila? He says, because the father himself has vested interests here in this whole process. He has a purpose, he has a goal that he wants to achieve. And that goal is unique to the father. So the benefits that the father gets through the Mila of his son do not apply, according to Rabbi Eliezer, according to Rabbi Lazar Levi, in the case of Acher, of someone else. He's not interested in that tikkun. So in other words, like this. Let's say in the worst case scenario, the Mila gets messed up. And now there's a malacha of Mekalkel. I'm sorry. There's a malacha of Chovel, I meant to say. So Bishlema, if someone else does the Mila, and if it doesn't turn out to be a Mila Kemitzvasa, then that Mila, that Chovel, did not have a Tzorech. If it didn't have a Tzorech, because again, this Acher is not interested in being Metake in the child, then it becomes a Meleches Kilkul, and there's no Chiv in a Meleches Kilkul. But if it was the father himself who did the Mila, and if, Chas V'Shalom, heaven forbid, he doesn't fulfill the Mitzvah Mila properly, then that Chabalah has a Tzorech to it, meaning that the father had a definite interest in here. Again, yesterday we asked the question, but he only has a definite interest if it's a successful Mila. But okay, that we have to get back to that as a separate question. But be that as it may, he definitely has an absolute interest in this, in this act of Mila, because he wants to be Metake and he wants to fix up the child. That's the tour in the name of Rabbi Eliezer.
So, I don't understand. So, he should have someone else do it?
Correct. If possible, let someone else do the Mila, because we have to analyze this milah from the perspective of meleches chovel, not from the perspective of kiyum mitzvah milah, because we have to take into consideration the possibility that the mitzvah milah will not be fulfilled properly, okay, whatever the dinim of milah are, and then he drew blood, which is meleches chovel, without the heter of milah docha Shabbos, because he wasn't mekayim the mitzvah milah. Then it turns out he's violating the Shabbos. Here, Rabbi Lezer in the tour makes a distinction between the Aviya Ben and someone else. The Aviya Ben has a definite interest. He calls it miskaved. He has a kavana for this mila. And what's his kavana for the mila? What tikkun? What makes this mila of chovel? Again, we're going quite to Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda holds that chovel is only chayv on Shabbos when? When it's almanas letaken. What's the almanas letaken here? Because the child will become a mohul, right? Let's call it tikkun gavra, the way Rashi said it. So the Trumas Hadeshin is going to say, I can justify the approach of Rabbi Eliezer in the tour by saying that the father of the child has a definite interest in tikkun gavra, and therefore he's miskaving for a tzorech, and that converts meleches chovel in the case of mila, even if he's not mekayim mila, from a meleches kilkun to meleches tikkun.
That's if it's successful.
No, that's again, I don't want to confuse you, because the whole thing is based on the fact that he might not be successful. So why is that a tikkun gavra? I don't know.
But if you bring a moel in and he's not successful, so he's got the problem.
No, but again, the advantage of the moel is that he doesn't have what's called kavan. What do I mean by kavan? A person has a vested interest. In the case of Acher, he doesn't have that vested interest. He's not motivated. He just wants to fulfill his shlichus, and maybe he's getting paid for it, I don't know, whatever it is. However, in the case of the Aviya Ben, he has vested interest over here. Why does he want this malacha to be done? Not just for the sake of mitzvah, but also for the sake of tikkun gav. And if chas v'sholem, the malacha of chovel was implemented without a kiyum mitzvah milah to be docha, then he'd be chayev for meleches chovel because he was miskaven, he had benefits through this tikkun gav. That's going to be the thesis here of this Trumas Hadesh. Now, all I want to point out to you here is that I try to underline parts of the Trumas Hadesh, and now we have more time to do the photocopying for those who didn't get the Trumas Hadesh. And again, I apologize, I just didn't have a chance to do the photocopying. But you'll see in the photocopy that you get, which I pulled out from Bar Ilan, because the copy that I have has this gigantic watermark on it, which I pulled out for the internet. So you'll see in the Bar Ilan printout, which you'll get in Mirtz Hashem if you don't have it yet, I underlined certain parts of the Trumas Hadesh. And the most important parts actually begin with the word Omnom, which you'll see twice. The only thing is that you'll only find it because I underlined it. In my edition, the word Omnom appears as a separate paragraph. Here in the Bar Ilan edition, they didn't break it up into paragraphs. You know, when I first looked at this Trumas Hadesh in Bar Ilan, I chalished. I had a second take. How could I read two pages worth of Trumas Hadesh? It's overwhelming. But I like it when they break it up into paragraphs. So in the there's an Omnom here. It should say Omnom Nira, I think. Let's just see if I'm right.
Yes.
Yeah, Omnom Nira. And now, if you fast forward from that Omnom about 10 lines, you'll see Omnom Hatosis Pligi in the same paragraph, again, because the Bar Ilan printout that you have did not break it down into paragraphs. This Bar Ilan printout is called digital. Can anybody answer that question?
Yes,
Yechiel, is this called digital? I got an email from Ben today that he wants me to send him a digital printout.
That's what he means.
Okay, alright. I figured it out somehow. It took me an hour, but I finally figured it out. I actually thought about it in the washroom, and it all of a sudden, I think that's what he means by digital. See, my copy that I have from the internet is not digital. It's a PDF file. It's just a picture of the Trumas Hadesh. So next time I'm in a library, I'll try to purchase the Trumas Hadesh, because it's much more beautifully laid out here, broken into paragraphs. But anyway, you should find approximately, let's say, I'm putting my finger here down 10 lines, another paragraph that starts, Omnomatosis, please.
Third line from the bottom.
Oh, excellent. Third line from the bottom. Thank you very much, Shmuel. So please underline those two omnoms just to give yourself a finger on the place that you'll know where we should be putting our emphasis here in the Trumas Hadesh. Correct? Okay, that's... Here's a pen.
It's already underlined.
Yeah. Oh, it's already underlined.
Probably it's already underlined.
When? No.
No? Okay, here's the Trumas Hadesh. Alright, now Rabosai, after you finish the Trumas Hadeshen, I need you to do the following. And again, Tzvi, maybe I can call upon you to help me with the photocopying. I need you to get a hold of a Gemara Chagiga. Can you write this down so I don't have to repeat myself later? Do you have a pen and you could write down the word Chagiga on a page? Here you go. Tzvi, can you catch?
Everything's really spinning.
Oh, everything's spinning. Okay.
Thank you, Tzvi.
Tell you, Tzvi, if it's spinning for you, Kal Vachomer, it's spinning for me. I'm all spinned out already. Okay. So I need you to look in Chagiga. Where in Chagiga? Chagiga has many pages to it. So number one, I need you to look in Chagiga on Daf Yud Amud Aleph. Okay, and what you're going to do is, you're going to count up from the bottom of Daf Yud Amud Aleph, 5 lines. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Let's make it 5.5. You'll see the two dots. Counting up from the bottom of Daf Yud Amud Aleph, 5.5 lines. You'll see the two dots. Going on to the top of Yud Amud Beis, with the top Rashi on Yud Amud Beis, that goes down another 2 lines until the next two dots. So it's from two dots to two dots. Okay, that's Chagiga Daf Yud. And Chagiga Daf Yud Amud Beis. Okay then, so we're going to stop here. I'm going to thank everyone for coming and persevering here in the Torah Shebaal Peh. And believe that we're going to get this down to a science as soon as the photocopy machine is fixed.
And it's not working now.
Now I think it's working, but again, they told me it was working as I was entering into the Shia room, so I didn't have a chance to photocopy. But here's a copy of the Trumas Hadeshen in the digital format of the Bar Ilan, and we'll
can I
see.
Keep it, or should I photocopy?
If you don't mind photocopying, because you know, this way, when I read it to you tomorrow in Shia, I'll be able to know exactly where to show you to look.
So from here, where it's underlined.
Yeah, well, the here to here, and then here to there, and okay then.
To the end there.
All the way to the end. I'm sorry. I have to keep you busy for the next 3 hours. You know what I mean?
the concept of the process.
Yes.
Who is that? I
think that's the Rashba. Again, it's Berzon's interpretation of the Rashba, so you won't necessarily find it in the Rashba. But
no, because originally I wrote Tosis, but it's Rashba.
Yeah, I don't think Tosis is going to necessarily buy into this whole thesis.
Okay. Do you have a spare copy there, Rob?
Of what?
Of Trimadition?
I just gave it to Don. Yeah, this is very difficult to read. You see these gigantic
the print is very big.
So look, if you want to photocopy that's okay with me, whatever you like, but I just I'm warning